This chazar was echnesh b'chaz k'shagav b'mayuhud m'sechdi v'amos daf kuf gimel. Shekhem, the Brisa mentioned above said that the wooden foot of an amputee is considered to be a shoe for purpose of chalitza. This must follow Rav Meir, who says in a Mishnah that an amputee may go out with his wooden foot on Shabbos. This would mean that he does not require the shoe to be made of leather, and therefore the end of the Brisa that says that a material sack is possible for chalitza must follow the Rabbanon and not Rav Meir. Abaye said, now the entire Brisa follows the Rabbanon. The reason they allow the wooden foot is because the Brisa is discussing where it's covered with leather. Rav asked, if that's so, that the Rabbanon would say that a regular wooden foot is possible, then why did the Brisa have to give an example of a material sock when it wanted to give an example of something that's possible? It should have stayed with the same case of the wooden foot, and it should have said, if it's not covered with leather, it's possible. Rav said, the entire Brisa really follows Rav Meir. The reason he holds that a material sock is possible for chalitza is because it provides zero protection whatsoever. And Meimar said, the Yavam doing chalitza must press his foot against the ground so that the shoe does not come off on its own. Rashi asked, a Brai says a chalitza may be done while he's leaning, in which case he's likely not pressing his foot on the ground. Mar said, the Brai means it may be done while leaning if he presses his foot against the ground. And Meimar said, if one has a foot so deformed that he walks on the top of his foot rather than the sole, he cannot do chalitza. Rashi asked, the Brai says that one may do chalitza with foot supports, which suggests that he cannot walk on his feet, and he said even such a person could do chalitza. Mar said, the Brai is discussing where the cripple gave the foot support to a healthy person to wear and use for chalitza. That's when it's valid. But for the person who can't walk, for him it would not be valid. The Mishnah says that an amputee below the knee is said to have a regel. Brisa says that the word regel regarding oiler regel teaches an amputee is potter from oiler regel. But it says regarding chalitza, the pasuk says me al ragle, which teaches that the shoe can even be removed from what's above the foot, meaning the remaining part of the leg. If so, why is chalitza possible if the amputation is above the knee? But it says the word me al teaches that it can only be done from above the foot, not from what's above the section above the foot, which would be above the knee. That wouldn't work. Papa said we can learn from here that the ankle is connected to the whole foot and is considered one. Because if the ankle was separate, then me'al, when it says me'al, would only teach that the shoe can be removed from the ankle, not what's above the ankle. Rav Ashi said, no, even if it's separate, it would be considered as one, because it's on the same level as the rest of the foot. Mishnah said, me'akubo ulama'alo. The Mishnah seems to clearly say that the term regel does not include the thigh, the area above the knee. If Gana asked, the pasuk refers to the afterbirth that comes from between ragleho, a woman's legs, which refers to her thighs. Abaye said, when giving birth, a woman's feet are against her thighs, and therefore the afterbirth is therefore delivered between her feet as well, not just her thighs. The fragment of the pasuk says that Mephibosheth did not cut his regliam, his pubic hair, which is in the thigh area. Mar said the word is used so that the pasuk can use a finer verbiage, but it really means, but in Hanami, normally regal means feet. Some psukim refer to urinating as raglov, refers to thighs. I said again, the word is used to allow for finer verbiage. Fragmar pasuk refers to the znus of yol and sister by saying ragleha. Or says again, the word is used to allow for finer verbiage. Rabbi Yochanan learns from the pasuk that Sisera did 7 acts of znus on that day. How is Yael allowed to do that? Well, she did, since she had pleasure from the znus. Rabbi Yochanan, named Rishon Meyachai, said pleasure from Rishon is considered bad by the tzaddikim, and she therefore derived no pleasure by being mezana with him. She allowed an impurity to enter her. Mishnah said, "Cholta b'mino sheinu shaloi v'chulu." Abraye says the pasuk says nale, which suggests that the shoe must belong to the yavam. The other pasuk says nal, and therefore teaches doesn't have to belong to him. The word naloi therefore teaches that it must fit him. It can't be too big or too small or without a sole. Rabbi Yosef instructed Abaye to lend his shoe to a yom v'chalitza. Abaye gave his left shoe. Rabbi Yosef said, the Rabbanon only allow using the left shoe b'dievet. Abaye said, to use a borrowed shoe is also only good b'dievet. Rabbi Yosef said, I meant for you to give it to the yavam, that he should be koinet, and the chanami should be his. The Mishnah said, sandal shalates. Shmuel said the Mishnah must follow Reb Meir, who considers a wooden leg to be a shoe for purposes of Shabbos. Shmuel's father said the Mishnah is discussing where the wood is covered with leather, and therefore it's a shue, even according to Rabbanon. Rav Papi and Emir Rava said a shoe with tzaras, which has been locked up for a week to determine its fate, may not be used for chalitza. But if it's used, it's valid b'dievet. However, if a shoe with confirmed tzaras has to be burned, if that's used, a chalitza is possible, because it's considered to be missing the minimum size of a shoe, because it has to be burned. Rav Papi and Emir Rava said both these shoes would be valid for a chalitza b'dievet. Fragmar Brisa says that one who walks into a house of confirmed tzaras becomes tameh. Now, if once it's confirmed, it's considered as if it no longer exists, like our puppy said of the shoe, then it should not be considered as walking into a house, because the house should be not called a house anymore. He should therefore not become tameh. The pasuk there specifically refers to the tameh house as a house, a bayis, and therefore it retains its status as a house even then. Pekmar Bryce says if a cloth with saras enters the house becomes tameh. Presumably, this is referring to where it has confirmed tzaras, and we see that it still has the status of a beged, which gives off tumma. The Mara says the tzaras discussed in the Brisa is within the week of being locked up. That's why it still has the status of a beged. The Mara says, although the end of the pasuk suggests that a definite tzaras is being discussed, the pasuk refers to this as still as a beged, even with definite tzaras, and is treated differently than a shoe because the pasuk refers to it as beged. We can't learn for a shoe from over here because we don't learn the case of iser from a case of tumma. Rava Paskin, a shoe that's locked up with possible tzaras, or that has definite tzaras, or a shoe of of Avodah Zarah should not be used chalitza, but would be valid b'di'evet. A shoe that was offered to the Avodah Zarah, or of an Eir Nidachas, or made for a mace, they cannot be used even b'di'evet. Ravina asked Ravashi, the shoe made for a mace can't be used because it isn't made for walking, but neither is the shoe made by Bezin specifically chalitza. He answered that since if the messenger of Bezin would decide to wear the shoe, no one would stop him, it's considered to be available to walk in, and is therefore valid for chalitza use.